offensive foul earlier. And now he sets up Campazzo, the 30-year-old rookie. Offensive rebound, Gordon. Here is Porter. Hey, he is 3 for 3 now.
And it's, you know, those early turnovers. Talk about the Nuggets maybe a little sluggish from the double overtime game.
Oh,
he's not
though.
He's not sluggish.
Okay. Knocked down 4 threes. That was blocked by Gordon. McCollum got his rebound, but couldn't finish it. Jokic kicks it. Porter's got the hot hand, and he's going to stay that way. What a start for Michael Porter Jr. 6-point laser lead, chance at the last shot. Monte Morris for 3. It is good. Monte Morris, quick release over Carmelo Anthony. Monte Morris gives the Denver Nuggets the lead. Porter gets stuck. Shot clock down to 4. Long 3 is up and good. Nikola Jokic gives the Nuggets the lead once again. Morris finds Rivers, 3-pointer on its way, and good! Austin Rivers with a big hit! Morris to Jokic, Jokic on a rim run, he scores! Jokic, Gordon for 3, it's good! That could be the dagger!
And indeed it might have been. Aaron Gordon with a key 3-pointer in the corner, because who found him? Nikola Jokic. Yeah, wow. Still kind of, I mean, we're hitting this heavy today, man, but the Nuggets get past the first round, and you got your two ballerina teams, your ballerina teams, in the second round. Avs in Vegas tonight. Nuggets going to be in Phoenix on Monday. I think that's an 8 o'clock game. I think they'll be on, finally get on TNT, or they got to bust that one over to NBA TV as well. Power to Play sports poll question. A lot of excitement in the state of Colorado. A lot of excitement around hockey and basketball. Will there ever be a time that the Avs, the Nuggets, or maybe the Rockies, 4-game winning streak, could ever overtake the Broncos as the most popular team? You brought up an interesting question that I dismissed immediately, but then when you stop and think about it, makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, are the Chicago Bulls still more popular than the Bears? I doubt it.
Probably not in Chicago.
Not in Chicago.
I think nationally, the Bulls, like that logo.
Yeah.
Like you, that Bull just, logo, just, it's Jordan.
Yeah, it just represents that era of greatness.
I would imagine that's a good non-Colorado poll question. I would say the Bears are probably more popular in Chicago than the Bulls, even though they're not really winners. They haven't had a lot of success. I mean, back in the 80s they were, but haven't had a lot of success since. I still think they're there, because I said, well, what's it going to take? How many championships for the Nuggets? 4, 5? Well, the Bulls had, didn't the Bulls get 6 with Jordan? Did they get one before that? I don't think so. I think they're only 6 titles. And yeah, the Bears are still in the 90s, though.
Right.
Weren't the Bulls the team in Chicago?
They were the team in the world.
Yeah.
Know?
And the world, seriously, yeah. You watched that documentary,
yeah, exactly.
Right? They're all over the place. But, I mean, even in Chicago,
definitely.
If you were to do a fan vote, Bulls would have won that in a landslide, right?
Definitely. I wonder how quickly after Jordan left.
How that went away.
That tapered away.
Yeah, because they didn't do anything.
There's nothing.
They haven't, and the Bulls haven't been, you know, much of a franchise since Jordan. So, in I guess in the argument's defense, the Bulls got it,
yep.
But then lost it shortly after. I mean, so it's you have to win, and you have to be a consistent winner. In the NFL, you don't have to win all the time. Look at the Broncos. They've had they've had 4 losing seasons in a row, 5 playoff-less seasons.
Yep.
And look at what I'm getting, the reaction I'm getting on Facebook and Twitter. It's, you know, it's still, no, this is a Broncos country, Broncos land, as John Elway once said. I think that if the Nuggets, and some people say, well, what about the Avs? Would the Avs have a good shot? It's hockey. I mean, name a state in America where hockey is the go-to. Okay. Maybe you're, I mean, Vegas right now, you got Nevada right there.
Is Toronto a state?
Yeah.
No.
But outside of, not our state.
No, exactly.
I would say there's not a state in America where the hockey team is the number one show in town.
Yeah.
I mean, even the Red Wings, who've had a rich history. I'm just thinking. Chicago. Blackhawks. I mean, come on. I mean, it's still the Bears, isn't it? So, I mean, it's probably not going to be the Avs unless they go on and just do something, like, historically good. I don't think, right? I'm trying to be fair here. I mean, the Avs have the same amount or one less of championships than the Broncos, and I would still say the Avs, are they fourth? Maybe they're second most popular now, maybe third. I don't know. That's a good poll question right there. Who's more popular, the Avalanche or the Nuggets? If both teams have a great same exact record, I think altitude one plays Nuggets games. Altitude two plays Avs. That's what it used to be.
Yeah.
Even within a year. This year changed a little bit. Because the two were on at the same time, I did a whole minute about it. I said, hey, this is the first time I remember Altitude 1 choosing the Avs over the Nuggets. So, I mean, no, I don't feel like it would ever be the Avs. I honestly feel this way, and I know Hooligans freak out. I think the Rockies, but pre-Nolan Arenado trade, had the best shot if they find success.
Yep.
Because it's about capturing the casual fan. And I think that Coors Field, not baseball, Coors Field can capture a casual fan more so than the Nuggets as an organization. So if you're capturing casual fans and then you go on and you go to the playoffs and you win and you go to the World Series, suddenly those casual fans are like, I've been there all along, you know, we're diehards. I think the Rockies would have had the best shot. Now I think it's going to be like a 10-year process for like Rockies fans to forget about the Nolan thing.
If we're lucky.
Because right now, no way. People laugh if you even... The fact they even put the Rockies in the logo of the poll question today, people are mad about. Denver would... The Nuggets would have to win. They'd have to do something like the Bulls did.
Even like back-to-back.
Were the Warriors more popular than the Raiders?
No.
In Oakland when they were doing their championship run? When Golden State won three out of 4 years?
Something like that.
Because they won one without Durant, and then they won two more, didn't they, with Durant? Were the Warriors, if you were to take a poll in Oakland, who's the most popular franchise right now, wouldn't it have been the Warriors for a 3-4-5 year period?
I don't even know. Right? On that.
Raiders have a hell of a fan
base. Their fan base is crazy.
And now they're gone, so the Warriors win that by default.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think. Like in California, is it... Well, what do you have? You got the state of California, and I know Chargers, San Diego, so far away from like Los Angeles. But is it the Dodgers and the Lakers the king there, or is it the Rams, the Los Angeles Rams? And now it's not San Diego, of course. It's the Los Angeles Rams and Chargers. They're not over the Lakers,
no,
right?
No way.
The Lakers may be the one that, because the Lakers are larger than life. Why? You have to win a ridiculous amount of titles.
Over a long period of time.
Yeah. So, I mean, you would give it... The Lakers are the most popular team in the entire state, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Of California?
Yeah.
I would imagine. How about Boston? That's an interesting one. New England's kind of the New England states, yeah. But Boston claims the Patriots, right? Is it the Patriots or the Celtics? It's the Patriots, right? I would imagine. Definitely. Even though Boston has like the same amount of almost the same amount of championships as the Lakers. But the Patriots have six Super Bowls. To me, it almost seems like the equivalent to like 11 titles or whatever it is that Boston has, some ridiculous amount.
Yeah.
Plus, Boston hasn't been a powerhouse. They got the championship with Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce and Rondo and Ray Allen. That was the lone wolf championship for them. The Lakers, well, they won it last year. Kobe, you know, recently they won, you know, in the Kobe era, they won five. And that wasn't that long ago, the last three that they won, the last two that they won. So they were consistently good, and they didn't go on a 10-year drought where, oh, the Lakers are bad. I mean, they've been bad for a while. What'd they do? They go get LeBron James, and they got a title. They got another one. So they can continue being a top team in the state. So that's what you're talking about, right? So the answer is no.
The answer is no.
Yeah, the answer is no. Because you're saying Denver needs to win three championships in the Joker era. And then the Porter era, whatever that is, they need to win another three.
Seriously.
And then another random one here. And then another. They got to get up into the double digits of championships. And it's got to be all the time. All the while, Denver's not doing it.
Right. Because if Denver wins or even sniffs a Super Bowl, it's game over.
It's game over.
Yeah.
I mean, when Peyton Manning was here, nobody was even close.
No.
Nobody even, I mean, they weren't that great. No, I don't think in that era you weren't going to championships. None of those teams were even looking at that stage. So, it's no. The answer's no. I don't, it's not like I hate it. It doesn't have to be the case, but it's just good luck to Nikola Jokic. I do believe, how about that poll question? We've done that before. Personally, could Joker be the guy over Elway?
And the answer is no, because
probably not.
He wouldn't even want to be, you know? He's not going to step into that limelight situation at
all. That I like that answer better than, you know, Elway's the GOAT and he's got two Super Bowls. Because I think Joker can match him.
Definitely.
Joker could win two titles before he retires.
Oh, yeah.
He could win one this year. He's halfway there. Elway didn't do it till his last 2 years of his career. So, wow. I mean, Joker's still, what is he, 26? He's got 10 years. Easy, right? Basketball players play if he wants to.
Yep.
Joker's also the kind of guy I could see at 30 go,
got my three.
Got my three. I'm done. Go home. So, you're right. The ego thing would be the big one.
That would be the thing.
That would be the big one. 17 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to catch up with Harrison Wind of DNVR Nuggets. What a night for Denver. Moving on. McLean says all of the 6th, 7th, and 8th seeds are eliminated. It's a hell of a playoff series, man. A playoff stretch. I'm pumped. I'm loving all of it. It's great. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Halls Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. The Power Trip, weekdays at 11 on 1310 KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Halls Show on 1310 KFKA.
Twenty-two minutes after the hour, it's The Halls Show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, Harrison Wind of DNVR Nuggets, our Nuggets insider. Man, they got it done. They avoided Game 7, and I'm with the Nuggets roster. They didn't want to see Dame in Game 7. I'm just glad they got this thing taken care of last night.
Yeah, no doubt. They did it. They finally pulled off a series win in less than seven games. First time in the Mike Malone era.
Oh, isn't that crazy, man? It's nuts. And we don't have to go through that extra stress. We get a little weekend break from it.
Yeah. I mean, well deserved. I really felt like Michael Malone set the tone in his pregame press conference, actually, and he'll do this from time to time. He felt like to me that he was really speaking to his team through that press conference, and he was saying, like, look, we don't want to go to a game seven. We want to win tonight. We've got to come out and have a punch-first mentality. We got to set the tone. And look, it was rocky a little in that first half, but I felt like his message was kind of received by his players in the end. They didn't want to go home and play a game seven. They didn't want to play Damian Lillard in a game seven. So they wanted to take care of business, and they did.
What was it about this one? Because in the third period with about 5-6 minutes left, I think the Nuggets were down, 14-15 points. And it's still, and I don't know if you felt this way, but it still kind of felt like, you know what? The Nuggets could get right back in this thing and they're going to be okay. Now, games in the past, I haven't felt that way, especially last Saturday. What was it about this second half? Was that what it was with Malone's message? Joker looked calm even when he wasn't really scoring that much at first.
Yeah, well, Joker had a huge third quarter, but I really feel like the momentum started to turn when Yusuf Nurkic fouled Nikola on that three, and Portland almost challenged, and it looked like maybe that would have been overturned. They didn't. It was Nurkic's third foul. Jokic hit three free throws, and then Yusuf Nurkic picked up his fourth foul and went to the bench a possession or two later. And then Damian Lillard hit a three, and then Monte Morris came back with that third quarter buzzer beater. And that was the moment when I said to myself, I think Nuggets have this because they got the momentum. And that Monte Morris three at the third quarter buzzer was massive, absolutely massive. And then the wheels came off for Portland, it seemed like, without Nurkic, and then, you know, towards the very end of regulation.
That's a great point, because you see the Nuggets getting momentum back. They're getting it, what, within four or five. You see Dame get the big play, and with 4 seconds left, yeah, Morris with that kind of running three, it kind of sucked all the momentum right back to the Nuggets. If Portland was trying to regain it, it went right back to Denver. And as you said, fourth period, the wheels started to fall off.
Oh, yeah. And honestly, it kind of reminded me a little of that Game 7 against the Clippers when the Clippers just didn't have an answer. They didn't have an answer down the stretch in that series last playoff, and that was kind of how Portland seemed towards the end of that game last night. You know, Denver found something defensively. Dame didn't seem like he was himself. A couple Nuggets coaches were saying like he might have gotten hurt earlier in the quarter, but Denver found something defensively, and then, you know, guys just stepped up and knocked down huge shots, so it was an incredible one.
Yeah, it really was. Let's go through this. The first period, I mean, Michael Porter Jr., man, he had some coffee or something, man. He was on fire. Ended up the night with 26, but what was it, 21-22, just in that first period alone?
Yeah, just super confident, and I feel like a lot of it came from what he did in Game 5 and the confidence he got from that strong bounce-back game after just a brutal Game 4 kind of carried over to last night. And look, he was just shooting into a big basket, as Michael Malone likes to say. And the craziest part about those shots that he was hitting, I mean, those are shots he hit all regular season. Just those quick pull-up threes coming off of screens just with no airspace. Those are shots he knocks down all the time. Jokic had the two fouls early, didn't score in the first quarter. Michael Porter Jr. keeping them afloat, absolutely massive.
Yeah, no question about it. Talk to us about the defensive side. Now, we knew Damian Lillard, I mean, he's going to get his. Most games, whether it's against the Nuggets or anybody, he's going to find a way to get you 25-plus, get you in the 30s, and, of course, the other night, get you 55. I was really impressed with what they did with C.J. McCollum. Now, he had 20 points, but he was, I mean, is it fair to say he was kind of a non-factor in the series for the most part?
Oh, definitely. And I mean, thinking back to the series 2 years ago when he just takes over Game 7 and wins the series for Portland, I always felt like there might have been a CJ game coming, but it just never happened. And you know, like, they just made it hard for him. Austin Rivers, Faku, Aaron Gordon spent some time on him throughout the series. They just made it tough on him. And, you know, it seemed like there were really, in the end, three players that kind of mattered in this series: Dame, Jusuf Nurkic, and Nikola Jokic, you know, when it really came down to it. And CJ, Denver just turned him into another role player, it seemed.
Yeah, and I think that was, you know, before the series started, we talked about the duo, not just Lillard, but the duo, the guard duo. And again, taking out half of that, for the most part, it proved to be extremely beneficial. But yeah, Nikola Jokic, man, every time I say this, and it's cliche, but what more can you say? We say that, and then he goes into flat-out takeover mode. I think the knock last year, maybe 2 years ago, was that, oh, the Nuggets don't have that killer instinct guy, the guy that can, yeah, Joker can score a lot, but is he going to demand the basketball and take over a game? We are certainly seeing that now.
Yeah, for sure. And what is just so apparent about Nikola right now, he's got a great feel for the moment. Like, I feel like he knows when Denver can capture momentum. He knows when the game is kind of hanging in the balance, and he'll step up to the table and take a big shot. Like, I think about that high arcing three over Jusuf Nurkic. I believe that was in the third quarter. Like, that was a moment. I feel like that was him recognizing the moment and saying to himself, all right, like, I got to step up here and make a big shot. He's just got a great recognition and feel for that. And the other thing is, like, Nikola Jokic right now leads the NBA in made field goals in the playoffs. He has the most baskets in the playoffs, and he hasn't played close to the most minutes. He has the most baskets made in the regular season. It's time to start talking about Nikola Jokic as just one of the best flat-out scorers in the NBA, maybe among the best.
Before we jump away from Portland to the Phoenix series, Harrison, I want to talk to you about Damian Lillard. I mean, you're seeing some cryptic stuff out there via social media. Lillard's kind of been known as the guy that's going to stay loyal to Portland. Do you think he's going to be in Portland? I mean, I know he just signed that extension, what, in 2019. Do you see him sticking that contract out, or does Portland eventually sometime go into a rebuild mode?
If I had to bet, I'd say Dame sticks around, but the rest of the pieces around him move. Look, if you're Portland and you trade Damian Lillard, you are heading towards a really right. long and tough rebuild. They might be going to like a light rebuild anyway, but I would bet they stick and hang on to Dame. And Jusuf Nurkić had some pretty cryptic quotes himself last night about his future in Portland, so I would expect, maybe he's on the move. CJ McCollum, I've got to think, you have to think about moving him. I mean, just how many times are you going to run it back and fail in the playoffs with the Lillard-McCollum backcourt? And, Terry Stotts' future seems to be hanging in the balance, too. So I expect Portland to look drastically different next season. I'd still be surprised if Damian Lillard was not there, though.
Yeah, that will be interesting. Yeah, and maybe if they figure it out, they could build around him in a different way. Nurkić, like you said, Nurkić is tough. I mean, defensively, when he's on the floor, good things typically happen, but he can't stay on the floor. And at the end of the day, is that just who he is? So a lot of interesting things going on in Portland over the offseason. Now moving on to Phoenix, the Suns get it done. They take care of the Lakers. No Anthony Davis. LeBron couldn't overcome it. He's out. Loses, what, in first time ever for LeBron James in the first round. Talk to us about this matchup against Phoenix. First off, do we like it better than the matchup that we saw against Portland?
Not necessarily. I think it's still going to probably be a long series, six or seven games. I definitely think Denver can win, though. And you kind of compare Phoenix and Portland. Phoenix has more potential wing defenders. I think that could hold down Michael Porter Jr. even more, maybe. Now, I think Porter gained a lot of confidence this series, and that's going to carry him a little into next round. But Mikal Bridges, Jay Crowder, those guys are going to zero in on Michael Porter this series, so he's got his work cut out for him. But the reason why I'll be picking Denver in this series is the thing that you got to look for in these teams Denver's playing, who's going to guard Nikola Jokic? Mm-hmm. And yes, DeAndre Ayton is a really nice up-and-coming center. He's had a great year. I think he could continue to kind of ascend in this next series. But behind him, Phoenix has no one. Frank Kaminsky is one of their backup bigs. Dario Saric is another one of their backup bigs. And you saw in that Portland series that, Jusuf Nurkić was really holding things together for Portland against Nikola Jokic. That was Portland's key, winning those Jusuf Nurkić minutes, and they did. So after DeAndre Ayton, Phoenix doesn't have anybody to challenge Nikola Jokic. So I think Jokic's going to have another huge series, and it's the leading reason why I think Denver can win.
And the guard play doesn't get any easier when you look at Phoenix. Of course, Chris Paul, Devin Booker. Paul he reminds me a lot of Chauncey Billups, stabilizing this force and this scoring monster that is Devin Booker. Can we expect, I mean, again, you got to be able to isolate one of them or to slow one of them down. And do you see a guy like Austin Rivers again and Monte Morris maybe getting the one up? I mean, Morris had a fantastic game last night. He's been awesome in this series. So some big moments for the guards for the Nuggets, too.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, the Booker matchup is going to be fascinating. It's probably going to be the key to Denver. Can they slow Devin Booker at all? And I wouldn't be surprised if, Aaron Gordon spends a little bit of time on him, like we saw him guard Lillard and McCollum throughout the last series. Booker might even be a better matchup for Gordon than those two were. And then, it's going to come down to, can Denver force the ball out of Devin Booker's hands like they really started to do to Dame over the second half of that game six? Denver brought their bigs up so high in that high pick and roll, really forced Dame to give that ball up to Nurkić kind of on the roll. And I've got to think that's what they'll try to do, to Chris Paul and Devin Booker when those guys go into those similar actions. So that's what it's going to come down to probably. Can the Nuggets contain Devin Booker enough?
It'll be interesting, too, to see on the other side. We saw it with Portland, some former Nuggets, right? Greats with Melo there, of course, and Nurk. Torrey Craig, I know he was a fan favorite, Harrison, you know, because of his defense especially. That was a tough one for fans to see go, but you know he's going to be motivated in this series.
Yeah, for sure. And like, he's playing. Phoenix doesn't have the deepest bench either. They're kind of similar to Portland in that way. I mean, they've got Cam Johnson coming off the bench. They got Cam Payne, their backup point guard. And that's really it in terms of, I feel like, who they trust off the bench. Torrey Craig's kind of next up. Played 11 minutes last night against the Lakers. So he'll play in this series, I guarantee you. And no, that'll be a nice little subplot to follow along for sure.
Yeah, no question about it. Monday night, we'll take a weekend break from Nuggets action. Meanwhile, in the rest of the NBA, Harrison, who do you like? How about tonight? Do the Mavs win this thing? Do they move on to the second round?
Oh, I hope so, Brody.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Me too, man.
I hope so. I mean, no home team has won a game yet in this series, so that would make you think the Clippers take this one tonight. I kind of wonder if this is just Luka Doncic's moment. That would be cool to see. He's had an unbelievable series so far, and if he plays like he did a couple nights ago, the Mavs probably win this one. And I think you could maybe see a little bit of not a rebuild, but kind of a retooling in L.A. with the Clippers if that happens. So that's what I'm most curious about. Is this Luka Doncic's moment, and does he kind of take that?
Yeah, no, this series has been kind of interesting the whole way through, so I'm sure we'll have more of it to come. Tomorrow, Bucks, Nets, they start their series. I mean, is Brooklyn destined to get into the finals?
I think so. They've been my championship pick ever since the Harden trade. Mm. I think they're clearly the best team in the NBA. Now, the thing about the Bucks, and I think I might have even said this on your show, like, I maybe liked the Miami Heat in that first round series, and I was dead wrong on that, obviously. The Bucks might just be a really good team, too. Because if you think about Milwaukee, the biggest upgrade they made, they swapped Eric Bledsoe for Drew Holiday. That is just like such a massive, massive upgrade in all facets, offense, defense, leadership, mentality. So maybe the Bucks are just a really good team. They might be. But I'm still picking Brooklyn. I'm still picking Brooklyn to win the championship.
How about, was it on Sunday, Hawks at 76ers? We'll get to that first one. Do the Hawks have a shot?
I think they do have a shot if Joel Embiid doesn't play.
Yeah.
They do. I mean, kind of like Luka Doncic, this is the ascension of Trae Young. This is kind of Trae Young saying, all right, everybody who said I couldn't win the playoffs, watch me. And so I love this moment for Trae Young. I love this new generation of players just not really giving a damn about anything and just going out and winning. So I think they can win. I think they can win if Embiid does not play.
Which makes, to your point, which makes the NBA just, to me, it's just going to keep getting this way. I mean, spread out on, you know, any team. What do you think on that? Do you think we're going to see more playoffs like we're seeing now where, specifically in the West, where it's the wild, wild West? It does not matter if you were favored to win this thing. And I know injuries had a lot to do with the Lakers. But do you see this kind of landscape where, you know, you do now, it's instead of two or three or one or two, it's five or six teams could potentially win this thing every year?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just kind of a changing of the guard. You know, LeBron's clearly on the downside of his career, like Kawhi as well. It's just the changing of the guard. You got these young generation of players coming up, Trae Young, Ja Morant, Luka, obviously, and like the guys in Denver, of course, but these guys just don't really care about, you know, they don't care about who they're going up against. You know, John Morant goes into Salt Lake City game one against the number one seed and just plays his game and wins and talks a lot of trash and just shows up. So I love the younger generation of players just not, like I said, not really giving a damn and just kind of trying to conquer the league and take what's theirs.
Yeah, no, it's a blast. I think it's made it so much fun this year. Harrison, what are you working on for us that we can read tonight and throughout the weekend?
Yeah, I should have a piece on Monte Morris going up later today or tomorrow, and he was huge in games 5 and 6. But I also think he's so symbolic of kind of this Nuggets team, a group of underdogs who have been underrated and written off, and just who grind and grind and grind and play for each other. And, I mean, that's Monte Morris to a T. And he was kind of the low-key hero. He was kind of the underrated hero for Denver in games 5 and 6. So I think he deserves some shine.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, my friend. Harrison, appreciate you, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next week.
Sounds good, Barry. Take care.
Thanks, man. Harrison Wind of DNVR Nuggets. Heck of a performance. Heck of a performance all the way around from Monte Morris. So I'm looking forward to that write-up. 39 minutes after the hour. Power to Play Sports poll questions available at thewholeshow.com. Will there ever be a day that the Nuggets, the Avs, even the Rockies can dethrone the Broncos as the most popular team in the state? First, next up, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA, the Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Popped into Rev Chiropractic yesterday, formerly the Chiropractic Standard. That place is bumping. People are getting the message. They are doing great things over there. And Colfax, I got zero pain, man. There's nothing going on, and it's quite the thing. I have struggled with back pain that just irritated me, drove me crazy for several years. And I've only been going to Rev for a few months, and I don't have it anymore. I don't have back pain. I'm walking upright. I'm not feeling a twinge in my back anymore. I'm able to work out and lift weights and run around with my kid, and I don't wake up the next day just absolutely miserable. That's because of Rev Chiropractic. Tell them we sent you here from The Whole Show. They're doing great deals right now. I know it can be intimidating sometimes, and then you think about the price. They'll work with you. They're working with any kind of budget, too. And get the plan that's going to help you out. They truly care. And when I say this, like, I mean, you get messages that are like, yeah, that's great about the pain, but how's your overall lifestyle now that you don't have to worry about that pain anymore? You're waking up with more energy. Your battery's charged. Instead of starting the day at 70%, you're starting the day at 100%. They care about it. That's Rev Chiropractic. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. Joker was sensational last night. I think maybe more of the national media starting to pay attention to the guy. This is a freezing cold take, isn't it? Nick Wrong, as Jamal Murray is calling him now. Nick Wright said this about the Joker and the MVP award and all that.
And the MVP having to be awarded in some hallway somewhere because he's not playing in round two ain't great. And in the macro wilds, when you look at the list of league MVPs over history, I say this with respect to Jokic. Historically speaking, he would be the worst one we've had in 35 years. Chris Paul wouldn't be. Chris Paul's an all-time great player. Yep. Nikola Jokic is having a great season, right, and a very good player. But when you look at who's won the MVPs, oh, it's Giannis, it's Steph, it's LeBron, it's Durant, it's Rose pre-injury. Nikola Jokic. Oh, okay, that must have been a weird season.
A weird season that just knocked out the Portland Trail Blazers and Nikola Jokic just taking over. Well, we're going to see it, aren't we? Chris Paul, it'd be laughable if he was the MVP. And I love Chris Paul. He's a stabilizing force. He's Chauncey Billups. But that year, Chauncey wasn't in the MVP race. He wasn't there, and he deservedly so. So, I mean, we're going to get to see it up close and center. Here's Mike Malone. Michael, take your shots. Michael Malone talking about his superstar, Nikola Jokic.
Well, it's tough for Nikola to surprise me, and I think you can understand that, Katie, because you've been around here for a while. Nikola's been incredible for many years now, and I think in our four wins in the series, he averaged 36 or 37 points per game, probably close to 10 rebounds and probably close to 6 or 7 assists. And that's why he's the clear-cut MVP, because you can take anybody away from our team. But if we have Nikola, you can put me, Wes Unseld, Ryan Bowen, Charles Glass, David, whoever you want out there, we're going to find a way to compete, because that's how great he is. Now, that's probably a little bit of an exaggeration. So I loved it. I said at halftime, I said, we have to get Nikola gone. He got in the early foul trouble. He only took 7 shots in the first half. Our best player can't have 7 shots at halftime. And I liked his energy. He was much more aggressive to catch, face, attack Nurkic. They went small, put a small guy on him. He was aggressive, backing down to the basket, scoring. When you see an aggressive Nikola Jokic, That is a welcome sight, and obviously he becomes really hard to guard because he's going to score or give somebody else a wide open shot. And that's what makes him great in my book.
He had one of those moves, too, against Nurk. He's backing him down. He does a spin, fake spin to the right, to the left, to the right, and then the up and under. I mean, the patience to outlast Nurk. I mean, I was talking about it with our guy, Nico Carvacho. It's amazing. He said he's sitting there with his mom. And his mom's like, he's so slow yet fast at the same time. That, I mean, that's the thing. That's what throws a lot of people off. It's hard to guard him, man. He's just ridiculous. 49 minutes after the hour, Colfax and I will give you our picks for tonight and the rest of the weekend. Can Colfax keep this amazing run? I'm trying to catch him here. I'm losing ground by the night. I'm three games back. So we'll get to that on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 in Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. We're just about to wrap it up for the week, man. We'll be back at it on a Monday. Recap what the Avs did on their trip to Vegas. Do they sweep this thing? Does Vegas? Colfax has got the sweep, two in a row. He's got the Avs never losing again, I don't think. I don't think the Avs will ever lose.
Well, not in this series.
No, not in this series. And if they win this series, maybe they are going to win the Cup. And maybe we got two teams really going for it. All right, we got to get to picks. We got Clippers-Mavs tonight. Can the Mavs close it out? I've got the Mavs winning. I've got them closing it out. Nobody's won at home yet, but I got it happening for the first time tonight.
I'm there with you.
You're going with the Mavs.
Yep.
All right. Now we're starting a couple of new series. Saturday, Bucks at Nets. It's the only game on Saturday.
I think the Bucks are going to punch
you
the Nets.
You got the Bucks here. Okay, I'm going Nets. Hawks at 76ers. That's a game one as well.
Sixers.
All right, so we just differ on one. I got the Sixers. I got all the home teams winning. We won't have to pick between Mavs and Clippers because we think that that series ends tonight. That's going to do it for us. It's a tremendous day. It's going to be a wonderful weekend. It's a great time to be a fan of Colorado sports for some of them. But hell, man, the Rockies are on a four-game winning streak. Get back under 10 games, 500, and we're happy about that, I think. That's weird, but that's where we are. Broncos are in OTAs. Life's good, man. So just enjoy the weekend. Good night, Northern Colorado.